Amen. Thank you very much, the reasoners. I appreciate that. Brother Joel stepped in this morning, and we've had just several things going on. Brother Todd and Miss Kim are away on vacation. One of his grandfathers turned 80, and so they're there at that celebration. And so I'm thankful for Miss Jody and others who've stepped in to help out. Great blessing. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 19, and we'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. a great song to precede this message and then to understand who we are compared to God. And then the choir special, just very thankful for the way that the Lord's put everything together this morning. Psalm 19, and of course the title says, To the Chief Musician, a Psalm of David. So this is not a, this is a song that would have been sung in the temple and part of worship. The Bible says this, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret thought, the faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the psalm that is given here that would have been a song of worship and understanding, adoration, and praise. God, I pray today as we look into your word that we'd have understanding, that we would have clarity in the presentation of this. You would give me unction of the Holy Spirit and understanding, ability, and wisdom to convey the truths, and that things would be said according to how they are here in the Scriptures, that we would see this for what it is, and that we would recognize it, and that we would turn to you and recognize ourselves and come to a conclusion about what needs to be done in our lives. I pray that you would convict those who've never accepted you, help them to understand their need for a relationship with you. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One thing becomes clear as you read the Bible. The more you read the Bible, the more you see God for who He is, and you get a better picture of who you are. And certainly in David's relationship, there's no doubt that that was a progressive thing all throughout his life. It's not something that one can attain immediately. In other words, a person that enters into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ doesn't immediately become someone who is given to knowing and following God. In fact, there's a bit of resistance to any person who doesn't know God. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's always a doubt. There's always a conflict. There's always an argument that we as human beings, not just you in particular, but we as human beings like to present, because we are supposedly able to sustain ourselves and to think for ourselves and to therefore make decisions in and of ourselves that are good for us, regardless of whether they're good for anyone else. And that is absolutely the truth. We're very good at making decisions for ourselves, but not taking into consideration what's going to happen as a result of that decision to others around us. And one of the things that the Word of God does for us, and certainly a relationship with God through Jesus Christ does, or just a relationship that would seek God through His Word, there's an understanding, there's a knowledge, there's a truth that is present all the time. And these are the truths that are given to us here. In the first part, verses 1 through 6, David says, you know, you can know God by the word that comes from creation. So there is a declaration of God and His existence that one, as they evaluate it, cannot miss the fact that this couldn't have just happened. There are too many intricacies. If you're a person who believes that this just happened, tell me how to make a cake. You don't put an eggs, flour, oil or milk or whatever, butter's good, not shortening, butter, another stick of butter just for good measure, because we like buttery cakes. You don't put that in a bag, seal it all up, throw it up in the air, and it lands on the ground, and it's a cake. Now, if you think that happens, you are not a baker. You've never tried it. I've heard my wife, I've watched her start over because she forgot one ingredient. And I've heard her say, leave me alone. You're interrupting. If you want a good cake, leave my mother and Twyla alone. They don't need distractions. The grandkids cannot be around when cakes are being made. Why? Because the absence of one ingredient ruins the whole thing. Plus the fact that it has to be baked at a certain temperature, not billions of years of baking. It has to be baked at a certain temperature. It has to be taken out. It has to be tested. It has to be cooled. It has to be, these are my favorite things. It has to be then taken out of the pan properly, otherwise it will fall apart. Hopefully you were smart enough to put some release stuff in there to get that out of there. And if you were not, it comes out in chunks. And you start over. Now, many of you who bake, you get it. Bread doesn't just happen. I mean, you can even put it in a bread machine, and it doesn't just happen. You got to purposefully measure the ingredients to put it in there. So here's what the Bible says right off the bat. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. David says, you cannot look in the heavens without standing in awe, going, somebody made this. I love living in Kansas, out in the country, as opposed to living in the city, because you can look up at any point in time at night, and you can see all kinds of stuff in the dark. It's awesome. You look up there in the solid dark sky, and you can see the Milky Way. You can even see sometimes satellites moving across the sky. You can see the stars and how they. I can't see the colors. I understand there's even colors at night. I can't see the colors, but I do see the twinkles and the brightness, and I love it whenever they say, if you look at the moon this night, you're going to see this, and if you look at the planets this night, you're going to see this. You know what you have to say when you see all of that? That's the glory of God right there. If you're a firm believer in evolution, let me just say, stop for a minute and ask yourself this question. Do I believe this because it's been proven to me, or do I believe it by faith? The fact is, an evolutionist believes in it by faith, and a person who believes in God looks up into the heavens and by faith sees the glory of God. A person that wants a relationship with God looks up into the heavens and sees the glory of God. When you look up during the day in the firmament, which is the space between space, you see clouds, you see birds. This time of year, you see cottonwood floating through the air. You see all of that. And still, if you look at the clouds, just the clouds, I love to watch thunderstorms come in and see the big thunderheads. And yeah, they're foreboding, but they're also majestic. It's amazing that God is in control of all that. That the clouds, everything in the firmament says, declares God to us. This is God's handiwork. This, look, you can look at this building and you can see it's man's handiwork. If you look really close, you know what you're going to find? Flaws. If you look at the heavens, all you can see and be amazed at is that there are all of these planets, all of these stars. They actually, this week, released pictures of the Milky Way like have never been seen before. They're intricate, detailed, deep into the energy of the Milky Way. That's what they say. And as you look at it, you see all of this amazing color and all of this movement and these gases, and you see it. And you know what's amazing to me about looking in the Milky Way? It's still not creating planets. It stopped. Well, Brother Ron, no. If you look at our Milky Way, the way that it's designed and it has been that way since the beginning of time, that God created it. Well, how do you know? Were you there? No, but that's what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So here's what the Bible says. If you're not a believer, if you look at the heavens in truth, not from some shaded opinion, not from trust the science. Science, so-called, is what the Bible says, proves nothing. In fact, you'll note that science has changed about the COVID virus in the time that it's been known. Why? It's science. Man doesn't know. But when you look at the heavens, there's one thing I know. I've been in the southern hemisphere, and I've looked at the heavens, and it's a lot different than the northern hemisphere look. When we were in South Africa, I looked up, and I was like, it was very confusing. Things weren't like exactly. When we were in Australia, it wasn't exactly the same. It's different. It's a different view. Nevertheless, it's all the same. It doesn't move. It stays where it's supposed to be. That's amazing. The earth still does what it's supposed to do all this time by the word of God. It still rotates around the sun. It still makes its path. It still does what it's supposed to. All the planets move exactly the way God designed them. And they've moved that way for years. That's how we know when a comet is coming. That's how we know when there's going to be a lunar eclipse. Because they've happened, and there's a pattern that didn't just happen. It declares the glory of God. The clouds, you can see His handiwork there. Then it gives you this next proof. This is the word of creation speaking. How we know God, the day-to-day activity. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The moon stays in phases. The stars are in certain places at certain times. The earth is moving. Everything is exactly the way it should be every day. Have you ever, maybe like this week, did you get tired of the rain? Did you go, now if you're a farmer, you certainly didn't. This is great for wheat. But if you're a person that wants to get outside, you're like, oh man. You know what was amazing to me about the rain this week? They could say it wasn't going to rain, and it rained. I love it. Why? It just tells me that man has no idea what's going on. Even with all the technology we have, the best way to tell the weather is go outside and hold out your hand. With all the technology we have. You know what else is amazing to me? every morning, even though the clouds obscured it, the sun came up. The moon came up, was going through its proper phases. It all happened exactly like God designed it. If you go to Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning. Was there a big bang? Sure. It was when God said, "Let there be light." Boom! There was light. Well, Brother Ron, what do you think he did? Well, then he made the next stuff. In 6 literal days. How do you know? Because it's organized. Our God is a God of order. Day by day, day unto day, uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. There's a pattern. The working still works the way that it always has. In fact, if you go through the Old Testament, you go through the time of Joshua in battles, you'll see the moon stand still. As you progress through the Old Testament, you'll see the sun turning back 15 degrees or 15 minutes. You'll see all of those things changing. You can't say God isn't in control, because God is in control. Otherwise, it would still be chaos. It didn't just stop being chaos. God keeps everything by His Word consistently. So, yes, it is boring. Every day the sun comes up, the sun goes down. At night, the sun's down so you can see the stars and the moon. The sun is the greater light by day. The moon is the greater light by night. Just like God designed it. Well, I don't agree with that. Tell me why it's so consistent. Remember, I'm not trying to preach anything to you. David said, this is God's work, preaching things to you. This is His word of creation to you. Listen to what it says. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know what that means? Man is without excuse. Everywhere you can see the sun and the moon and the stars and clouds, you see God. Not that God is in them, that God designed them with a purpose and a plan. And His plan continues until He says it won't. Believe it or not, man has no say about stopping the earth. Never will. Why? Because God established it. Look over at Job chapter 38. I love Job. This is God Himself proclaiming Himself. Job 38, just back in that book right in front of this. Job 38. And of course, God is speaking to Job in this chapter. And He says to Job, asking him this question, "Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldst know the paths to the house thereof? Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of water may cover them? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, 'Here we are'? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth in the hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock break forth, or bring forth, or cast thou mark when the hinds do calve? Do you see the point? Our knowledge, the greatest part of our knowledge, cannot describe or explain any of those things still to this day. Science hasn't explained this. As I said, we can't even explain a virus. We don't know what the origin is. We all may be suspect. We all may know. But the truth is, the only one that truly knows is God. And I believe that's probably going to be the only one who's ever going to know the truth is God. Why? Because He is in charge of the finite details of the universe. And do you know He doesn't waste any time thinking about it? He just set it all in motion, and it does what He commands. Their line, verse 4, is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Have you ever considered that when the sun is up, it does heat things up no matter what the temperature is? Remember whenever it was super, super cold? Just a few months back, and it was really cold. You know what was amazing to me? When the sun came out, it heated up the surfaces of the ground, and especially of the parking lots and stuff, and things began to melt. And you know what you did not feel while you were walking in the wind and the cold? You didn't feel that heat, but you could see it. That proves that nothing escapes the heat of the sun. Here's what David's point is in all of this, and his descriptive phrases and words are, so that you and I can catch this. There's no reason why you and I shouldn't know exactly who God is. Why? He's proven Himself in just creation. You can't be under the sun and not know that the sun is up. There is no heat from the moon. You ever been out? You ever gotten a moon burn? No. But you have gotten a sunburn, and sometimes didn't even know you were getting the sunburn. You can be under the clouds and get a sunburn. Why? Because there are things about the sun that God designed that even though man tries to explain them, still are inexplicable. How does this work? How can it be so hot in this room and air conditioning be going? Well, there's a little bit of sun. There's nothing that escapes the heat of the sun. Here's the proclamation. The speech just of creation alone, the words that you should be hearing, scream, there's a God! Well, I'm a scientist. I believe in science. Therefore, you must be ignorant if you believe in God. Well, you know, science doesn't promise you anywhere but dirt and worms. I'm just going to say my hope is in the Lord, because He has a better plan than just dirt and worms. Well, Brother Ron, that's a bad way to talk about death. That's what science says. I didn't say that. Look it up. Read what they think happens to your body. But God says, wait a minute. Here's what proves that there's an eternity. It's in the heavens. The description, the very permanent nature of the operation of all the things in the universe speak loudly, there's a God. And they put an exclamation point, and there is none else. Look at the second thing that he says, proclaims God. Verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. There's not just God's word by creation, but then God enforces His word by His word. So here's something to consider. In all of the ancient writings of the world, which is more organized than the Bible? Which can you take from Genesis to Revelation and from beginning to end and make sense out of? Now, let me just use one example because I was encouraged to try this as a person that wanted to understand Mormonism. And if you're a Mormon, I'm not saying anything against you. I am telling you that reading the Book of Mormon, it's basically unintelligible. You cannot read it from one cover to the next cover and make any sense out of it. It doesn't matter what you believe, what you know, what you don't know. Interestingly, when people read the Bible, just start reading the Bible through on their own. Many people have this testimony. Began reading the Bible, wanted to know what the Bible said. You know what they came to know? There is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Man deserves to go to hell because he sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, I'm telling you, if you read the Bible, you can come to that conclusion because God's word speaks plainly. There's no hidden agenda or secret thoughts in here. I know everybody's looking for a code, but there's no code. The Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and convicts our hearts. In fact, if you're responding like this right now, welcome to conviction. You can't be mad at me, I'm not mad at you. People who disagree with God just don't like what the Bible says. It's not how it's said. It's not the person, it is what it says. Because if there is a God, and the heavens declare there's a God, and if He is in charge of the universe, and the firmaments declare His handiwork, and if He has set things in order, the sun and moon and stars do exactly what they're supposed to do, exactly when they're supposed to do it, at His command, which was given once, they obey way better than man ever decided to obey. And they are constantly doing what they're supposed to do. And the rain comes and the rain lands even in places where man does not exist or does not live. When you consider all of those things, then as you read God's word, if there's a God, then His way is the only way to heaven. And so you can say the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul from what? From who we are to who God designed us to be. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, when did God determine that? Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because there was one man named Adam who disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden with one rule. Not a bunch, one. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Eve is standing around the tree. Satan comes and tempts her. She looks at it, desires it for herself, says, this is going to make me a god. She takes it. She eats it. She turns to her husband, gives it to him. He eats, and immediately God says, oh, He comes to meet them. They're hiding in the fig leaves over there. because that's the only thing they could figure out to sew together to cover themselves up, not taking into account that fig leaves die. Now think about it. Man trying to cover his own sin is not going to work, ever. Right there you see God had a plan for man before man messed up. There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. His name was Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what if I don't want to do that? For the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, idolaters, sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the end of the book, Revelation 21. People who are without Christ, who've not accepted God's plan. Wait. If everything in the earth is working together, and the in the universe is working together, and the sun comes up and the sun goes down, and the moon is in phases, and the moon shows seasons, and the stars show seasons, just like God wanted them to do. If all of those things are happening, then probably just the fact that we know that the heavens declare God's glory and the firmament declares His handiwork, if we know that, then when we look in His Word, we're going to have to accept that we need to be converted from who we are to who He's designed us to be. And that's in a relationship with Him by His Son. How do you figure that out? Only the Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Job observed this whenever God spoke to him. I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. The only way you're going to see God through creation and see God in salvation is by His Word. But you have to hear it. And the thing is, you will have no excuse standing before God. Now, those of you who are saved in here this morning, you're a little weary that I'm talking about salvation so much and talking about a relationship. First of all, remember this. Somebody was preaching something like this when you got saved. But secondly, understand this. If that's true, you and I are supposed to be telling it. If God is really God, and all you have to do is walk outside today and see that He is, then why do we withhold these truths from man? Why do we think that the Word of the Lord, that the law of the Lord is not perfect? Perfect means that it's complete. We don't need anything else. It's the thing we need to make us right. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord. He uses another word to describe the Word of the Lord. So this is the testimony of the Lord. It's God saying, this is me. This is you. This is what you need to do to have a relationship with me and be in heaven forever with me. It's my testimony to you. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. There is no other wisdom. There's no other knowledge. There's nothing that can compare to the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God tells us why we are where we are in history right now in America. Right now, it tells us why evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. Christian, listen, you can be as upset as you want and you can be amazed and astounded that this is happening, but read your Bible. It was bound to happen. Nothing can stop it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't stand up for the right. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't take a position on the right and shouldn't try to stop the evil that's coming. No. That's the wrong attitude, because anybody that knows God knows that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our voice should be loud saying, but God is wiser than man. God's word is more perfect than the Constitution. Can't believe it. You mean there's laws in the land that aren't perfect? 10 days in jail for spitting bubble gum on the sidewalk? Why? Murder, 2 years. Get off good behavior if you're really good in jail. Unbelievable, man's truth versus God's truth. You want to see where God's truth is? Walk outside, look up in the sky and go, only God could. Try to figure out how the wind is blowing, why it's blowing. You know what's so amazing to me? Is that with all the tools we have, they still haven't properly predicted what time we're going to come into this massive heat wave that we're all going to die from because there's global warming. You go, mocker? Okay. Well, you shouldn't mock. If you think that human emissions is destroying the planet, you just don't believe in a God that created the world. Man has nothing. Look, I'm not. You shouldn't be a filthy, disgusting person. I'm not talking. But I'm going to tell you, electric vehicles are only making more carbon footprint. It's not logical. I'm not even a scientist, and I can tell you that's not logical. But they're all going, well, in our wisdom, electricity is going to solve the problem. Okay, genius, where does electricity come from? Wind. Okay. How do you have to build those windmills? More wind. Right. So if wind energy is free, why do you have to pay more to have it? Because somebody's got to pay the bill. No. That's what they've been telling me all my life. The truth is, like it or not, God allowed man to discover fossil fuels for energy. I do not know why. All I know is there's plenty of it. There's plenty of wind, too. We do live in Kansas. Well, Brother Rome, if I look in God's Word, see, if I just look at creation and I try to figure out how I can best protect it, I'll come up with some plan. But you know, if I read God's Word, here's what I discover. That God already has everything in order and things are moving exactly the way God wants them to move. And God has a plan for me. And God's plan for me is that I should desire His Word more than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Why? Because when I fear the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. And it's clean. And it's enduring forever. And His judgments are true and righteous altogether. When I take God's plan from the beginning to the end and I put it all together, it's the most righteous plan anyone could come up with that excludes no one. Do you note that the sun shines on everyone? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Why? Because God's plan is perfect and true and righteous. It's non-exclusive. He wants everybody to be part of His plan. Here's what verse number 11 says. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So God says, here's your option. You can follow your plan, but it's going to go nowhere. Following my plan, in my plan, you're warned. Let's just take a couple things and we'll stop here. So do you think there's information in the Bible that could stop a person from being a drug addict? You think there's help there? Amen or no man? Do you think there's help there for a young lady and a young man not to have a baby out of wedlock and have a life that's burdened and oppressive? I'm not saying that everybody's is, but come on. It used to be taboo in our world. It's not anymore. But do you think there's help? Not. I'm just saying, do you think there's help after they have the baby that they can be encouraged and they can be warned not to be a certain way and have a way to raise that baby and a way to be right with God? Do you think maybe there's a possibility that that's in there, that they could have a life that's not oppressive and burdensome and driving them to drinking or beating their child or murdering their child? Do you think there's help in the Bible for that? Sure there is. Do you think there's help for the Christian not to enter into sin, like private sin, things that we'll talk about a little bit tonight? But you think there's help for the believer in these things in the Word of God to warn man? Sure. Do you think there's probably enough warning in the Bible that the United States of America doesn't have to be in the position that it's in right now? Do you think maybe there's warnings against doing business with people that are not godly people? You think maybe there's something in the Bible about pursuing the things of the world and how they're not going to satisfy your soul? You think there's maybe something in there that says you can't serve God and mammon? You think there's plenty of warning to get us out of the trouble that we're in? Sure, plenty. Do you believe that there's blessing in there if you don't do those things that you're warned against? So if the Bible says, stop right here and don't go any further, and you don't, and you stand there for a moment, do you think maybe there's reward and blessing for that? Encouragement for doing right? Sure. Why? Well, mainly because the Bible says so. But there's a key. You have to desire them. Do you know what's changed in America drastically? Christians desire for the Word of God, for the warnings of the Word of God. In fact, I will say that Christians, by and large, in the majority, do not live a life that's warned and separated to God because they don't desire the gold of the Scripture. They desire the gold of the world. Hence the reason they're working and not going to church. Hence the reason why they're letting their work drive their spiritual life. Because they don't care about the Bible. They care about video games. They care about watching movies. They care about luxury. They care about taking care of my family. They care more about that than discovering what the Bible says. They desire the gold of the world more than they desire the beautiful, pure gold of the Word of God. They desire the honey of the earth more than they desire the honey of the Word of God. The sweetness. There's nothing better than to obey the Word of God and look back and see how God blessed you simply for obeying. There's no way to boast there. There's just rejoicing and acknowledgement that God has a plan. And God's plan is that I have a life that He's designed for me. And so He's given me two ways to see it. Creation and His Word. The question is, will I desire those things more than I desire the things I want, that I think are important? Here's what the Bible says. By them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Here's the warning. There is a God. There is a plan. How do you know? Well, you can look around in creation, and it's planned. You cannot say this just happened. You just can't. It could not possibly be this organized. No logical thinking can say that's how it happens, just by chance. Then you have His Word that takes it a step further and warns you that God created the heavens and the earth. that God has a plan. And if you don't follow the plan, if you're not warned, you will regret your decision. If you do follow God's plan, you'll be rewarded and blessed and look back on your life and say, every decision I made to obey was the right choice. Maybe not perfect, but you'll be thankful. Now listen to me. Just look up here. If you haven't looked up here the rest of the time, look up here right now. Here's the wonderful thing about this section of Scripture, just like everyone. Look. Don't look at your watch. I know what time it is. I know you don't think I see everything, but my eyes are still kind of good. I'm not trying to be smart aleck. I'm telling you the truth. You have to make the choice. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're old enough to understand the words of creation and the words from the Bible, you must make a choice. And doing nothing is making a choice. It's saying no. Quit excusing it and saying, well, I would, but. No, why don't you say this? I don't want to. Quit lying to yourself. Why? People around you are suffering for your lack of desire of the Word of God and your lack of agreeing with creation. Your family will suffer. If you don't make the decision for you, make it for them. Understand, just creation alone tells me one day we're all going to stand and give an account. And you can honestly say this, well, I don't believe it. And I'll say, go outside and look up and explain to me how you think there is no God, therefore there's no one to answer to. Your soul will never agree with that. Every head bowed, every eye closed.